The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour. That's probably not news to most of you, but anyway, it is. My telephone number. This probably is not news either. If it is, I hope you'll take it down. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. What are you shaking your head at over there, Mr. Forgot What Day It Was? My usual engineer, Jeff, has the day off. And my producer, Aaron Light, is the somewhat accidental engineer today. And it made me feel so good. Hey, I have senior moments. I forget things. And my producer is always very quick to point out the things that I forget and has a good laugh at my benefit. Well, I feel much better today. We started to go on the air. If you're a regular listener, at around 3:29 or so, I do what we call the pregame, a teaser. And it's a 60-minute live summary of some of the things we're going to talk about for the day. Just kind of tease, let you know what we're going to be talking about, so forth. It takes 60 seconds, and then we have some commercials, some advertisements, and then we come on the air at what, 3:35, 3:36 or something like that. So I always come walking down the hallway. You know, again, we do this live tease at 3:29. So I come walking down. A lot of times it's 3:27, 3:28. And my engineer, Jeff, is always sitting in the studio. And I always say, always, every day, Jeff, how much time do we have? He'll say, oh, 47 seconds, 1 minute and 20 seconds. Okay, great. And we have a word of prayer every day. And I come over just in time to sit down and do that live tease. So I come down the hallway today, and it's like 3:27. And there's no Jeff. He's not there. There is nobody in the studio, and it's like 3:27. We do the live tease at 3:29. And so I say to our receptionist, Kim, where's Jeff? She says, I never saw him come in. He usually comes in about 2:30. Where's Jeff? He's not here. So I go run down the hall to Aaron. Aaron, there's no Jeff. And Aaron is calm and cool no matter what happens. There could be an atomic bomb that's ready to go off in 5 seconds. And Aaron would go, oh, we have 5 seconds till we die. And so he comes walking down the hall slowly, and I'm going, get in there, we got to go on the air. And he says, I don't know what happened. Jeff wasn't supposed to be off until Thursday. And I said, today is Thursday. And Aaron just goes, oh, I forgot. Did I tell the story accurately, Mr. Producer?
Was it,
did I exaggerate
reason.
Any?
A little, but within
Where did
reason.
I exaggerate? Where did I exaggerate? That's the funniest thing. He says, I don't understand. Jeff was supposed to be off Thursday. This is Thursday. Oh. So I hope you didn't have important plans for today, for this afternoon.
Oh, this is it.
This Well, it's nice to see you over there, even though you had no plans whatsoever. You're going to allow me to just be without anybody because you forgot that today was Thursday. Was that a senior moment for you? Is that because of the beard? Is that you know, kind of?
No, I just didn't realize it was Thursday yet.
The beard is getting so long, it's beginning to drain brain cells.
Maybe.
So anyway, why were you shaking your head at me a little bit ago?
Just you with the phone number.
But if I don't get it, if I don't give it like 48 times an hour, you yell at me.
I know, but you're literally like, does everybody out there have it written down? In case you don't have it written down,
well, don't
here
you think they should?
Like everyone's just has your number on them at all times.
Well, they should. They should have it on speed dial. Do they have speed dial anymore? Does that even exist?
I honestly don't know. I imagine
have you
could
ever
set
heard
it up.
Have you ever heard of speed dial, young man?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you do remember what that? Okay,
yes.
Working with all these young whippersnappers, I sometimes forget what they know and what they don't know. All right. Let me... I don't have time to get into this story, and it's too important. I messed around too long. I've got a very, very, very important story to share with you after the break coming up in about 3.5 minutes, and I'm serious. It's just... I read this story... And literally, sitting at my desk, I hung my head in shame. I did. I literally hung my head in shame. And you might as well. And I'll share that story with you right after the break coming up. This story is important as well, and it's really sad. A feminist by the name of Sophie Lewis... just granted an interview. She is the author of the book Full Surrogacy Now, Feminism Against Family. Feminism Against Family. She is a well-known feminist author, and she was being interviewed concerning her latest book. And among other things, she said, quote, "We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically." And then she went on, and it's by the way, it's on YouTube if you want to check it out. Again, her name is Sophie Lewis. She went on to use some of the most bizarre language that I've ever heard. She talks in her speech about hemochorial placentation. That's pregnancy. Hemochorial placentation. That's her word for pregnancy. She says, she talks about the gestator. That is the expectant mother. Gestational work is bearing a child. She will not use the word mother, birth. She uses these weird, bizarre technical terms. Then she gets into what she calls the biology of the hemochorial placentation. Helps me think about the violence that a fetus metes out to the gestator. She makes the case that an unborn baby sometimes kicks the mother. Now wait for this, and I'm not making this up and I'm not exaggerating. She makes the case that the fetus sometimes kicks the mother. That is violence. Now, let me remind you, gestational work is her term for pregnancy. The gestator is the mother. She says this, and I quote, "That violence," what violence? The unborn baby kicking the mother. "That violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work. The violence that the gestator metes out to essentially go on strike or exit that workplace is an acceptable violence." Now, I know that's confusing, so let me interpret it for you. A mother A pregnant woman who does not want to be pregnant. That means she doesn't want to do the gestational work. She doesn't want to be pregnant. That violence that the gestator, the mother, metes out to essentially go on strike or exit the workplace. What is the workplace? Pregnancy. What does it mean, go on strike or exit the workplace? Kill the baby. She says, the violence that the fetus, the unborn baby, metes out to the pregnant woman is not acceptable, but the killing of the baby is, quote, acceptable violence. So in other words, because the baby kicks the mother occasionally and the mother, maybe the woman doesn't want to be pregnant, she doesn't want to be kicked, and so therefore that violence means that killing an unborn baby is violence, but it's acceptable violence. That is the bizarre extent that the pro-abortion people have gone to today. Just, whoa, mind-blowing. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll share with you this story that literally caused me to hang my head in shame today. I'll share it with you as soon as we come back.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I read this story this morning and just hung my head in shame. Here is the headline: Imprisoned Chinese Christians Memorize Entire Bible Because, quote, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. All of us know that there's horrible persecution of Christians in China. Has been for many years, but it's worse today than it has been in decades. Many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians are sitting in Chinese prisons today simply because they had a Bible or they refused to... Pastors who refuse to submit their sermons to the Chinese government for approval. People who had a secret Bible study in their home. Church members who refused to be a part of the registered church and rather were members of a home church or an unregistered church. It's happening all over China. Churches are being destroyed, dynamited, bulldozed. Crosses by the thousands have been removed. Well, this is a story of a pastor, Wayne Cordero. Never heard of him, don't know anything about him. But he is pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Hawaii. He made a recent trip to China and met with some wonderful, wonderful Christians in China. He says, he began teaching the lessons to the Chinese. There were 22 attending. Out of the 22 that were attending his seminar, 18 of them had been imprisoned for their faith. Can I repeat that? There were 22 people attending his seminar. 18 of them had been imprisoned for their faith. And by the way, if this American pastor had been caught leading this seminar, he would have been expelled immediately from China. He wouldn't have been put in prison. Chinese know better than to do that with an American. But he would have been deported immediately, and these people would have been put in prison. 18 of them have already been in prison. Quote, at the beginning of the lesson, he realized that they only had 15 Bibles for the 22 participants. He says it didn't matter when he asked the audience to turn to 2 Peter 1. He noticed that one lady handed her Bible to the woman next to her. He realized that she had memorized all of 2 Peter. He says, when it was done, I went over to her at a break and said, you recited the whole chapter. She replied, in prison, you have much time. Quote, although prison guards confiscate any Christian material, people still smuggle in small scraps of paper with scripture. The prisoner memorizes them as quickly as they can and then destroy them. And some of these precious Chinese Christians have memorized the entire New Testament. Most of them have memorized entire books of the Bible. Why? Again, I quote, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. After the three-day training, the pastor commended the Christians who attended. One of them asked for the pastor to pray that they would become like him, that the Chinese would become like the American pastor. The pastor replied he couldn't. Quote, I looked at him and said, I will not do that. You guys rode a train 13 hours to get here. In my country, if they have to drive more than an hour, people won't come. You just sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat here for not only 3 days on a hard wooden floor. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people will not come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family, and we don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from tiny little pieces of paper. I will not pray that you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you. I have traveled all over the world in the last 45 years. And I have seen these precious people who would give their lives for one little Bible, who memorize entire books or sometimes the entire New Testament or sometimes the entire Bible because they can't get it themselves. And here in China, these people in prison, people smuggle little pieces of paper with Bible verses on it. They memorize them quickly and then destroy them and beg these people to smuggle in more. And some of these people have been in prison for weeks, months, some of them years, and because of that, they have memorized the Bible because, again, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I have 5 Bibles of my own. How many Bibles do you have? How much scripture do you have memorized? One of the things that really troubles me about the church today, scripture memory used to be huge, huge, huge. In my early days of pastoring, scripture memory was gigantic. I don't hear of anybody memorizing scripture anymore. I'm serious. I don't hear of anybody. Memorizing the entire New Testament, or at least entire books of the Bible, because they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I think all of us take our Bibles for granted, and we need to be reminded often about our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who would and do lay their lives down for one Bible, sometimes one book of the Bible to read. How fortunate, how blessed we are.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.